Hallo? Hört sich gut an. Okay. Ja, also jetzt hier live vom Linux-Tag mit Andrew Morton. Er ist Maintainer des 2.6-Kernels. And yeah, first of all, welcome.
This one?
Yeah, you can take this one. Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah, just for the people who don't know you, who are you?
Andrew Morton, I'm maintainer of the Linux 2.6 kernel, over here for my first visit to Germany.
Oh.
To give a keynote speech at Linux Tag.
How is it here in Germany?
I'm surprised how flat it is. I'd expected to see more mountains as I came on the train from Frankfurt. Looks very pleasant, beautiful in spring. I'd like to know what that river is that I came across on the train.
I think either the Main or the Rhine.
Okay.
That's I don't know exactly.
It was very large.
They're both here, so okay. So this hall is called the Rhine-Main Hall.
Okay.
So these are the both rivers here in the area.
Okay. Well, it was brown, so I knew it wasn't the Danube. It was brown, so I knew it wasn't the Danube.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. First of all, what will be new in this 2.6 kernel?
Well, 2.6 kernel isn't new. I mean, it's been running for about two years now.
Yeah.
Always new device support, multi-core CPUs are going to be big over the next 3 years, and we're seeing increasing amount of work done on multi-core. I'm surprised at the amount of work that's been done on NUMA for non-uniform memory access. Obviously, NUMA is important for the large IA64 machines, and also the AMD Optera machines have NUMA features as well as do some IBM machines. There's a lot of work happening on that front. Virtualization, it's always coming, never arrives. I'd expect Xen probably will be merged in some shape or form over the next 12 months. But I don't control what goes in the kernel. That's up to the people who work on the kernel. Mm. So I'm not in a position to say, you know, in the next year we're going to implement this, that, and the other. All I can really say is what I see people working on, and what I expect they will be sending to me over the next medium term. Mm.
How many people are at the moment really working on the kernel? Do you know that?
I've never sat down and worked it up, but I imagine there are probably several hundred full-time professionals, people who are actually paid by their employer to work on the kernel for most of their time. I think we've had maybe 1,500 people have actually made changes to the kernel over the past year, say. But there are a lot of people who don't actually make changes to the kernel, but who test it. Thousands of people who will download the latest kernel and test it. In some ways, they're our most important contributors. Without those people, we wouldn't have the kernel. The whole thing just wouldn't be possible, really. Because none of the developers can test on a small fraction of the hardware, of the computers, or of the workloads which Linux supports. And without the feedback from our testing community, we just couldn't make any progress at all, I don't think.
Mm. The last year, or I think 2 years ago, Solaris is going to open Solaris.
Mm-hmm.
So the kernel is now also open. What do you think? What are the advantages of the Linux kernel? What are the advantages of the Solaris kernel, if you know that?
Well, I haven't used Solaris for about 7 or 8 years, so I don't have any personal knowledge really about it, what its strengths or weaknesses are. My impression is that most of the people who have taken advantage of Open Solaris were probably pre-existing Solaris users who wanted to have a look at how it works, or maybe fix up some stuff which Sun wasn't fixing, or make custom changes and things like that. Whether the opening of Solaris has actually caused an increase in the uptake of Solaris, I just do not know. Mm. And I'm not sure whether you could get reliable information on that from Sun either. As for the relative advantages, I really don't know. It's very difficult to compare operating systems. You can compare the feature lineup, and certainly Sun has some very strong features, but performance comparisons are very, very difficult to do. You need to look at all the assumptions they made, and so often you see performance comparisons and you realize there are differences in configurations that just made the whole thing invalid. I've seen recent benchmarks that make Linux look significantly faster than Solaris, but whether that's true in practice, don't trust it at all.
Okay, hast du eine Frage?
Yes, I have some questions too. What's about the discussion that the kernel is growing bigger and bigger and bigger with useless and useless of multimedia stuff. Some server admins claim to be the kernel would be a monstrosity on servers. And home users say, well, the kernel doesn't support my super webcam and my super sound card. So is it difficult to find a way between the two sides?
I don't think it is. I mean, the people who own servers who are making those complaints should shut up and go away, because we've done an enormous amount of work for on the server side of things in terms of scalability, increased number of CPUs, increased amount of memory, increased performance, increased number of disks. That's where all the focus has been in the recent years. So I think the server people should be pretty happy. Desktop and embedded, I don't think we've supported them as well as we have supported the server side of things. But we are all conscious of it, and we're all pretty careful to make sure that when new features are added, they won't impact either the performance or the memory footprint of the smaller machines. And there's been a lot of work going on, particularly in the area of power management, hot plugging, which is designed for desktop and particularly laptop machines. It's tough. I mean, lots and lots of different sorts of hardware we need to support. There's new hardware coming out all the time. Often it doesn't have specifications. Often it's buggy. I'm going to have to give my presentation today using Microsoft Windows because we don't know how to turn on the external video output of Sony via laptop because Sony haven't told us. Still, we have these problems, but... I'll get down there sometime and I'll reverse engineer their ACPI tables and we'll get that working. But we are well aware of the interests of all the various interested parties, all the various stakeholders in the kernel, and although sometimes they may complain, we do try to look after them.
Okay, another question. What's about the license stuff? Especially about the FAT file system, which is now under protection from Microsoft, will be the file system longer supported in the kernel, or will it be dropped very soon? Or
I haven't heard anything about that. I don't pay a lot of attention to the licensing issues. I mean, Linus is the copyright holder, and he looks after those things. So my knowledge on that is no greater than yours. I read the same websites you do. If Linus decides we have a problem there and we might need to make some change, well, that's his call.
Okay, cool.
So I don't have any special insight there, sorry.
So what's upcoming in the next Linux kernels, especially some features and so on?
Well, just continuous evolution, whatever people send us. So the virtualization, I expect to be a big thing that's going to happen over the next 12 months. IBM are trying to get improved resource management into the tree. That's looking like a difficult merge at present. It wouldn't surprise me if CKRM might not make it. Riser 4 is always coming but never arrives. We do need to find some way to get Riser 4 merged up. My problem right now is I basically don't know of anyone who has the right set of skills and the amount of time to do the review of the code that will be needed to get it merged, so it's kind of stuck. So that I consider that problem to be in my lap, and I need to somehow find somebody to do that review, and I don't know how to do that right now. I don't know, there are always new features coming. New file systems, new virtualization support.
Okay, what do you think? Where will Linux, the kernel, be in, let's say, 5 years, 10 years? What do you think? What can we expect? I know it's a kind of nasty question, but
I think hopefully we've got the development processes sorted out and the quality issues are acceptable. So I'd imagine the development will continue as we're doing at present. We're changing the kernel at a very high rate. I think we change about 10,000 lines a day. We've been doing that for 4 years. I don't know. Whatever people send me. Most of the work is supporting new hardware. You tell me what will hardware look like in 5 years' time? I don't know. But nowadays, Linux has sufficient market force that when a hardware manufacturer makes new hardware, they have to put the engineering resources aside to make sure that Linux supports their hardware well. And the major manufacturers, they know how to work within the kernel, they know how to work with the kernel community. For example, the Intel 10 gigabit Ethernet adapter Linux had support for any other operating system, and Intel just sent us the driver and put it in the tree, and we were first. So everything's going pretty smoothly in that regard.
Yeah, and AMD is also putting a lot of time now. I read that they built a research center in Dresden.
AMD?
Yeah.
So yeah, AMD seem to do a lot of their work through SUSE. They do have some engineers working on the kernel. Intel, I think, is probably our highest contributor to the kernel now. A lot of stuff coming from Intel.
I have a very difficult question too. Many people say, the BSD clones have a much better code or much cleaner code. The coding style of BSD is, more designed than Linux. what say you about that, or what? Have
Could
you any
so.
Time compared the codes?
I think the coding style of the core kernel, the bits that people really care about, is pretty good now, and we're continually improving it, and we're getting stricter and stricter and stricter about what we'll accept into the tree, and we are educating the developers, I think pretty successfully, so that they know what the expectations are of their new contributions. There are parts of the kernel which are absolutely dreadful still. They tend to be in old device drivers, stuff nobody's maintaining anymore, stuff that nobody really care about. We wouldn't accept code nowadays of that quality. I could say that hasn't happened the past 3 or 4 years. So new things, the new device support, the core kernel is very high quality now. People tend to have those impressions. It may have been based on old code base, or they may have looked at some particular driver they're having problems with and created a bad impression. But yeah, there's some real crap there. But it tends not to be the things we care about much.
Okay, I have another code question. Hans Reiser, the developer of RiserFS, complained that Linux doesn't provide sufficient RPE or bindings to realize Riser 4. Is this true or not true, or what do you think about that?
Hans had a particular vision about the sort of services which a file system should offer to user space, and he has gone a long way beyond what POSIX envisages. I mean, Linux basically implements POSIX, and we're pretty careful about that. We have extensions, they're well understood extensions. Hans is a bit of a visionary, and he's decided that file systems should do a lot of additional things, both in the namespace plane and also in the data plane. And so he has gone off and implemented those things within the context of a particular file system. The problem for us is that when Linux namespace is not implemented within the file system, it's implemented within the virtual file system, it's implemented within the core kernel. And so we have a real problem here that we don't want a particular file system to go off and make extensions to the Linux API. If we're going to extend the API, we need to do that within the VFS so that, as much as possible, all file systems will implement the same extensions. And this is a real sticking point, because we'd never sat down and looked at the RiserFS extensions, and some people had certain issues with it. They thought it was incompatible with some other extensions which were in Linux, and nobody's really certain that this was an interface which Linux wanted to offer. And sneaking it in via a new file system is just not the way we do these things. So we had a bit of an impedance mismatch there. So what happened was, I believe Hans has basically gone and disabled a lot of these extensions, so that now the Riser 4, which is being offered, is just another Linux file system. It doesn't have any particular extensions. And then we can discuss the extensions later on. And that's a good move. But even in that form, as I say, we have this hurdle that we just don't have the reviewing bandwidth to get Riser 4 into the tree.
Okay, that was a quite long answer. Now, any questions, Ingo?
No, but is there anything you like to add to say out to our audience now?
The only thing I could say is I always ask people to download the latest kernel and to test it. And if they have any problems at all, whatever it is, please send us a bug report and be prepared to work with the kernel developers to resolve the bug report. Need to bear in mind, a lot of cases, if you hit a bug, the developers can't reproduce it. And we rely upon our testers, well-meaning users out there, to work with us on resolving bugs. Sometimes users have to be persistent. They may send in a bug report, and the developer kind of ignores it. Oh, that's all too much work. Sometimes the user will come back, and we'll ping the developer and say, keep on persisting, saying, when are you going to fix this? When are you going to fix it? I love it when people do that. Because I'm usually the guy who has to go off and thump on the desk and tell developers to go fix your damn bugs. And I love it when the testers will do that for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I really encourage people to test the latest tree and hit us if you got bug reports. Hit us hard.
Okay, I have a last question. Mm-hmm. If you look around, there are so many PCs and computers all running with Linux here. How do you feel about this?
It's good. I mean, it's why I do it. At the end of the day, when it comes to carving something on my gravestone, at least I know that I've been able to advance the status of a lot of human beings in a small way. It's a good thing to do.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, could you just say one last sentence? Hello, this is Andrew Morton, and you're listening to Radio Tux.
Hi, this is Andrew Morton, and you're listening to Radio Tux.
Okay.
Thank you. Great.
Yeah. Okay. Then, good luck for your presentation. After.